Goeienaand gemeente, ons gaan so lang voort, Dominee Matlehela wat vanavond vir ons spreek, hy behoort so 10 minute hier te wees, hy is net bietjie verdwaal, so ons gaan so lang gewoon voort. Net voor ons begin die enkele afkondigings namens die kerkraad, vandag sy collectus bestem vir die kerk en die tweede collecte vir theologische opleiding, en dan vanweer die periodieke aftrede van broer Johan Struwig, as ouderling en Max Boesendkool as diaken van die kerkraad, vra die kerkraad name van persone wat geskik geacht word vir die amp van ouderling en diaken. Name verkieslik motivering kan voor of op môre aand by die skriba aangedien word. En die kerkraad met diakens vergade hierdie woensdag aand, as die Here wil, om 19:30 by die kerk. So ver die afkondigings. Gemeente, laat ons ons harte tot God verhef en syn seëngroet staande ontvang. En ons erken dat ons hulp is in die naam van die Here wat hemel en aarde gemaak het. Genade vir julle en vrede van hom wat is en wat was en wat kom, en van die sewe geeste wat voor sy troon is, en van Jesus Christus, die getrouwe getuie, die eersgeborene uit die dode, en die owerste oor die konings van die aarde. Amen. As amen lied, sing ons saam Psalm 18 vers 1 en 3. Gemeente, kom ons gaan tot die Here in gebed en ons vra sy seën oor hierdie erediens. O Heilige God en Vader wat in die hemel is, Heer, ons dankie dat ons alleen op grond van Jesus Christus sy reddingswerk tot U mag bid. ons wat stof en sonde is, Heer. U geef ons hierdie wonderlike groot geskenk en middel om met u te mag kommunikeer. U wat heilig en ver bo ons is, Heer, u moedig ons aan om tot u te kom in gebed en u luister, Heer. Heer, en dit gaan ons verstand te bowe, maar ons dank u dat ons in geloof en op grond van Jesus dit mag doen. Dat ons weet, u is 'n God wat oneindig groot is, onmeetbaar is. Elke gedagte van die biljoene mense op aarde ken, die harte ken, en dadelik hoor as ons u naam aanroep, of ons u dank, en of ons in donkerte u aanroep om hulp, Heer, u hoor dit, en in aller wysheid gee u uitkoms, op maniere wat ons self nie kan uitdink, Heer. God, ons dank u, dat u is wat u is. Dankie vir u sorg, ook ons elke week hier voed met die woord. Dankie dat ons u waaksaamheid en sorg ook so mag sien, Heer. Dankie dat u ons die evangelie gee. Ook weer vanoggend kon ons die krag en die mooi en die eenvoud en die krag van u evangelie besef, Heer. En Heer, dankie dat ons daaraan kan vashou, dat het, al is dit dwaasheid vir selfs ons logika en vir die wêreld, Heer, gee u ons die geloof daarin, om daaraan vas te hou, om te mag besef dat, al is ons so swart van sonde, al is ons sonde self, al kan ons niks goed en reg uitdink wat u eer nie, Heer. Nog steeds sien u ons as heilig, skoongewas deur u seun se bloed. Heer, wat 'n wonderlike evangelie, wat 'n wonderlike boodskap. En mag ons so nooit ons eerste liefde laat gaan nie, Heer, maar altyd bly word en altyd getuig van hierdie wonder van u genade. Dankie ook vir leraars en woordverkondigers wat u aan u kerke reg oor die wêreld gee en ook aan ons om hierdie goeie nuus te bring en u insettinge te leer. Daarom dank ons ook u vir Reverend Matlehela vanaand, dat u ons ook die voorreg gee dat ons meer woordverkondigings mag hoor, Heer. En elkeen ontdek die diepte van u woord en bring ons nuwe insigte uit u woord, Heer. Mag u hom ook seën, mag u ook sorg dat hy veilig hier aankom en ook veilig hy en sy vrou vanaand veilig teruggaan, Heer. Mag u die woord seën aan ons en ons ook ope harte en ore gee. En mag hierdie twee woorde wat u vir ons vandag bring, ons lewens verander, ons vertroue en geloof in u laat groei. Mag dit lei dat ons in ons lewenswandel u eer en u gehoorsaam en u die lof gee wat u toekom. Dat die ook die erkenning, Heer, en dat ons ook so mag getuig van alles wat u doen. Heer, dankie dat ons ook gemeente mag wees, dat u ons daar vir mekaar gee, dat ons vir mekaar mag bid, mekaar se name opdra tot in u troonsaal, Heer. Wat 'n groot voorreg. Heer, ons dankie ook vir die geboorte van Jouke en Renata se nuwe kleinkind. Vader, mag alles ook goed gaan, en dit het ook goed gegaan. Mag u ook daar wees met die verbondskind, sy lewe deur. O Heer, ons vra al hierdie dinge, en ons bid hierdie dinge in die naam en die krag van ons Verlosser, Jesus Christus. Amen. Gemeente, ons sal die geloofsbelydenis vorentoe skuif. Kom ons sing nou staande saam Skrifbeleiding 27. Gemeente, ons skrifgedeelte vanaand is uit Psalm 16. But before we read the Psalm, just welcome, reverend, welcome, and welcome to the family and the friends. Great to have you guys here tonight. Goed, en ek lees die hele Psalm 16. Een gedig van David. Bewaar my, o God, want by u skuil ek. Ek het oor die Here gesê, u is my Here, vir my is daar geen goed bo u nie. Maar dan gaande die heiliges wat op die aarde is, sê ek, hulle is die heerlikes in wie al my beha is. Die smarte van hulle, wat 'n ander God met gawes vereer, sal vermenigvuldig wees. Ek sal hulle drankoffers van bloed nie uitgiet en hulle name op my lippe nie neem nie. Die Here is die deel van my erfenis en van my beker. U onderhou my lot. Die meetsnoere het vir my in lieflike plekke geval. Ja, my erfenis is vir my mooi. Ek sal die Here loof wat my raad gegee het. Selfs in die nag vermaar my niere my. Ek stel die Here altyd voor my, omdat hy aan my regterhand is, sal ek nie wankel nie. Daarom is my hart bly en my eer juig. Ook sal my vlees in veiligheid woon, want u sal my siel aan die doodryk nie oorgee nie. U sal nie toelaat dat u gunsgenoot verderwing sien nie. U sal my die pad van die lewe bekend maak. Versadiging van die vreugde, van vreugde is voor u aangesig. Lieflikhede in die regterhand vir ewig. Tot sover. Ons sing nou saam Psalm 101 verse 1 tot 4 en daarna sal Reverend T. Matlahela voortgaan.
Brothers and sisters, greetings. I greet you all in Jesus' name, and also I bring also the greetings from the church in Soshanguve XX. And also I have with me also three members from XX. My wife Monica, and the one mother who is the finance officer in the church, Ma Joanna, and also the mother who also looks after us, Ma Ramagoma. Those are the members that I bring with this afternoon. And as I believe, sorry for being late. Sorry for being late. The text for today is verse 1 to verse 6. And I will read that again and in English. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after other gods shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Thus far is the reading of the Lord, the reading of the word. The book of Psalms, brothers and sisters, reveals praises, sufferings, and devotions of this blessed king. And this is the relationship that David had with God. The king is crying out in the midst of his suffering. But in the midst of the suffering comes the song where the psalmist declares his contentment. As verse 1 says, with a cry of God to preserve him. But the psalmist doesn't then catalogue his suffering, but declares his contentment in the midst of sufferings. Then my theme is faith in Christ produce Christian contentment. Faith in Christ produce Christian contentment. The psalm begins with a prayer. Preserve me, O God. There's some kind of danger threatening. Though the danger is not laid out, the Holy Spirit did that on purpose. It means that the believers can make this their own prayers when they are facing any kind of threat or danger. We can call out to God and plead with him out of protection. That's what David does. He makes this prayer because it is in God that he takes refuge. God is the safe tower into which he runs for safety. That's how he relates to God. He looks to God for his security. And he constantly speaks to Yahweh, to the Lord. He confesses, you are my Lord. He says that Yahweh is his master, his owner. When he says that Yahweh is his Lord, that is showing how he relates to him. He relates to him as a servant to his master. When his master speaks, the servant listens and obeys. David was not serving God to get something out of him so that he could indulge in whatever his heart desire or try to gain some pleasure out of that. Yes, he did ask for God to preserve him, but this was not so that he could somehow enjoy life apart from God, indulging in whatever his heart desires. He wanted God to preserve him by keeping him in his presence, because God is his ultimate pleasure and was not in the things that God might give him, but it was in God himself. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Since this name is a covenant name for God in relation to his chosen people, it is appropriate for David's confession. Apart from you, I have no good thing. So what enabled David to declare such contentment in the midst of his trials? First and foremost, it was for the fact that God was his God. You are my Lord. He is saying that the God of Israel is his master. That is, God is not only strong, powerful God in whom we take refuge, but also the one who is able and who does order his life and direct what he should do. Then the question that I just want to bring to all of us this evening is, Jesus, your Lord and your Master, you should be able to be saying, as David does, apart from you, I have no good thing. And that is what we read in the book of Philippians, where Paul says, I consider everything loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Yahweh, God's covenant name. Through the covenant of grace, God has made David his own, and thus God becomes his Lord. This affords David much, much, much peace. By affirming that he is a loyal believer in the Lord, a committed member of the covenant, David is providing God a reason enough to answer his prayer. His point is that he is totally dependent to the Lord and confident that the Lord will take care of him. In fact, he acknowledges that it is God who provides for his well-being, and he counts on that. By stating that his good is not beyond God, he means that God alone who provides for his well-being, all of it. And as a result, there is no limit to that goodness. There is nothing God cannot provide, and there is nothing anyone else can provide that God has not provided. Brothers and sisters, David was not asking God for health and wealth, for a big house and a nice car. He said to God, it is you that I am looking for. It is you that I need. It is you that makes me happy, that gives me pleasure. You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. And in verse 3, it refers to the saints in the land. Relating to God necessarily also involves relating to his people. That's simply referring to David's fellow believers. These believers, people who also places their trust in Yahweh for their salvation, their excellence, their wealth, their value comes from who they are in relation to God. They are saints. That means that God is the one who has set them apart. David finds all his delight in them. He sees his fellow believers loving God and following God and following God, and that sometimes he finds beautiful. This is about the communion of saints. A believer is not an island, doesn't exist on his or her own. God has people, and the believers love to be with other believers. Believers love to see what God is doing and through other believers. They find it encouraging. They find it delight. David, and so does Christ, the one whom David pointed, our Savior, also takes delight in his people. They are his bride, his beloved. Jesus also takes delight in his church. We are Christians. The Bible tells us that we are united. You are united to Christ. What he loves is what we are supposed to love. Have you ever heard of people who say things like, "I love Jesus, but I really don't love the church"? I've heard people talk like that. But if you love Christ, you are supposed to love what he loves. You are united to him. We should say with David and with Christ, as for the saints, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. I love the church. And if you can't say that right now, pray that God, the Holy Spirit, may work that love in your heart. What you read here in verse 3 is supposed to be a vision of who we are supposed to be in what we are supposed to love. As we relate to God, as we relate to Christ, we are to love God, love Christ, and love his church. In other words, brothers and sisters, be joined to God's covenant and congregation. Come in God's house, his church, and be joined to his people. Confess your faith before God's church. Declare that you love the Lord and that it is your heartfelt desire to serve him according to his word, and forsake the world and crucify your old nature. Commit your holy life to the Lord's service as a living member of his church. And then in God's church and with his people, rejoice in the beauty of the Lord. Hold up his majesty, his loveliness, his holiness. And with the Lord before you at your right hand, you shall not be moved. And verse 4, brothers and sisters, presents us with a contrast. Verse 3 was about the believers in the land, and verse 4 is about unbelieving idolaters. There are those who run after other gods. The word that is used is related to the word that of the bride's price or the dowry. Running after other gods seems to be compared as chasing after a wife. There's a link here between idolatry and adultery. This makes sense, especially in those mentioned in verse 4, Jewish people. Israelites had a covenant with God, and they were in a relationship with Yahweh, a relationship compared to marriage. To run after other gods is spiritual adultery. It is true for us too. When we make other things more important than God, we are unfaithful in our relationship to God. And at that, that has consequences. According to verse 4, sorrows will be multiplied. When idols have a place in your heart, you think that good things will come out of it. That's a lie. The truth is right here. The truth is sorrows shall multiply. You are not just getting one sorrow, but multiple, many sorrows. Lots of pain, lots of troubles. Trouble will come finding your comfort or pain relief or any other good from anywhere other than God. And this, brothers and sisters, is a warning. He is talking about people who has gone away from God and acquired deity to follow. His point is that those who do so increase their sorrow. He's making a general observation. Their choice brings sorrow. The word being general enough to include physical adversity, emotional pain, anxiety in the days to come, a great anguish and judgment. There will be a high cost of being involved in idol worship, far beyond offerings and a sacrifice. Those who exchange the true God for false gods at the cost of their own spiritual and physical well-being, for they will relinquish their grace and goodness of the one true God. David, brothers and sisters, continue to distance himself from them. He knew that it was the prayer of the faithful that was effectual. Thus, he explains that he does not what they do in their false religion. He does not pour out the libation, drink offerings to their false gods. If he did so, it would be an appeal to their power, dignity, and value, and he cannot do that. He affirms that he will not even speak their names. Even to utter their names will be considered as an act of homage to Baal, meaning Lord or Melech. For names meant the nature or reality of the one named, or they described those gods as sovereigns. But uttering their names, David did not recognize the divinity or the power of any god other than Yahweh. Sin and Savior had no communion. Hence, Jesus, brothers and sisters, refused the testimony of unclean spirits to his divinity. For in nothing would have fellowship with darkness. In a time of serious trouble, David was able to support his petition for protection by denying that he had any relationship with the false deities and their devotees. He was absolutely loyal to Yahweh. This is the question that we need to ask ourselves. Do you love other Christians? Do you find it good and rewarding to be with them? Do you seek their company? This is a simple test. Those who love the Lord will love the company of those who also love him. Those who find they are good in God will also find those likewise who seek him. Again, do you find it uncomfortable to be with those who sin openly? Are you troubled by their values, shocked by their desires? This is a simple test, brothers and sisters. Those who love the Lord will love the company of those also who love him. Those who find they are good in God will also find those likewise who seek him. Again, do you find it uncomfortable to leave those who sin openly? Are you troubled by their values, shocked by their desires, repulsed by their blasphemies? Or are you at ease amongst them? Like Peter, you have no difficulty warming your hands at the fire of those who are hostile to your master. It is because you are far from him. My appeal to you, get back to him before you deny him as Peter did. As Christians, we must love to take the name of the Lord on our lips. And like this, you read this in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. Verse 5, David confesses, "You, Lord, are my inheritance and my cup. You are the one." David had set the Lord before him. He had made him his heart desire. He said, "Lord, you are the one I need. You are the one that I need today and the future. I don't want anything else. All I want and all I need is you." He says that Yahweh is a chosen cup. And this is a metaphor or a picture. The picture of food and drink. The chosen portion is food. The cup is drink. The picture points us to how God provides. As God relates to believers, he provides them with food and drink, all that they need before life, before him. This is about God's providence. Both in prosperity and in adversity, you hold my Lord. And brothers and sisters, because we belong to him through Christ, all of these things work out for our good. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for those who are called according to his purpose. That's how God relates to the believers. He also relates providing an inheritance. David writes about that in verse 6. He says, "The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Every Israelite had a portion in the promised land. There was one tribe that didn't, and that was the tribe of Levi. They were the priestly tribe, and their inheritance was God himself." David was from the tribe of Judah, so he had an inheritance in the promised land. That's the first reference here. David looks at what God providentially given him in Judah, and he sees how beautiful it is. He is contented with that. And that's all the talk of inheritance in the Old Testament was meant to point to a richer reality in the New Testament. The richer reality is the inheritance laid up for us in the new heaven and the new earth. Through Christ, we are God's adopted children and heirs. Through Christ, we stand to receive an inheritance. We have a heavenly promised land waiting, where all will be living in communion with God forever. And concerning the tribe of Levi, as we read in the book of Deuteronomy, at that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to him and to bless in his name to this day. Therefore, Levi had no portion nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God promised him. And that is ultimately what David saw as the present blessing to that two could have in the Lord. To have God as one inheritance and a portion in life was not just for the tribe of Levi, but for David too. For he had the Lord as at his right hand. He was living before his face. Sorry. Sorry about that. Brothers and sisters, to have God for one inheritance and portion in life was not just for the tribe of Levi, but for David too. For he had the Lord at his right hand. He was living before his face, rejoicing in his goodness and his mercy, loving him and finding in him immeasurable pleasure. We are all hungry for pleasure. But the reason why we don't always find it, it's because we are looking for pleasure in the wrong places. We are too easily satisfied with the simple. Even with the sinful pleasures of this world, instead of seeking and finding our pleasure in God. The fullness of joy and immeasurable pleasure can only be found in him. And you are only going to enjoy that pleasure when the Lord is at your right hand. When you live in him and through him and for him. Then you'll be able, you will not be moved. Then you will not be shaken. Then you will be secured and be satisfied. The problem is, Satan wants to twist our understanding of what real pleasure is. Satan wants us to believe that the pleasure of this world are more satisfying than God. He wants you to chase after money, after success, after fame, sex, alcohol, and drugs, to find your ultimate pleasure apart from God. And so, even happens that we are tempted to go some places, to enter an establishment, to walk into a room, but expect God to stay outside. And as we expect God to stay outside, so that we can have a bit of fun, so that we can satisfy the cravings of our hearts. Do you do something, or do you want to do something without God being there? Is there something in your life or in your fantasies where you don't want God at your right hand? Because after all, what you want is fun. Because there is no true pleasure, but there is no fullness of joy outside of the presence of God. And without God at your right hand, you will be moved, you will be shaken, and you will eventually fall. And there will be nothing left. God relates to believers by giving them rich blessing of an inheritance. We can say, indeed, I have a blessed inheritance because I am God's child through Jesus Christ, and I read now 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again and to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for the salvation for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. Let us pray. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, Father, this evening with humbleness and with gratitude. Father, we want to thank you, Father, for your word, that you preserve us, O Lord. Please keep us at your right hand, that we may not be shaken, that we may know you in your word, as you revealed yourself in your word. Help us, Father, to know you, that to enjoy you, Father, and to have fellowship with you and with other believers, and to love the company of Christians, and to be in communion with other saints. Father, keep sin far away from us. We pray, Father, that you may bless your church, the ministry that your church is doing. Bless them, O Lord. Bless the church council. Bless the deacons, O Lord, in the work that they are doing. We pray, Father, that you may continue working in our hearts and blessing us, O Lord, and also bringing us to repentance if we live in a sinful world. Be with us, O Lord. Guard our hearts, guard our minds, and guard our lives. Guard our marriages, O Lord. Be with our children, Father, as these days our children are easily tempted. Our children are easily tempted, Father, with alcohol, with sex, and drugs. We pray, Father, for our children, and not only for them, but for us also, that we may not be tempted, O Lord, that we may find our joy in you, not our joy in this world, and to seek the company of other believers. We pray, Father, all of this only in the name that is above every name, at the name that every knee will bow, that at the name that every tongue will confess, at the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And are we to sing? Are we to sing, or is it collection? We can sing. Oh, Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 14. grave or collection. Oh, okay. All right. Now is collection time, and after that, then we will sing again. Is this now a grave bereavement? or blessings? Oh, okay, okay. Let us all, brothers and sisters, receive the blessings from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you.